The fourth beatitude says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's how we sing it, and that's how it's printed in the bulletin. The Greek says, makari ipinondes ke dipsondes tin dikaiosynein oti afti hortastisonde. Two words here, dikaiosyne and hortastisonde. Dikaiosyne can be translated as righteousness, but more literally and more straightforwardly, it is translated as justice, both in ancient Greek and in modern Greek. And hortastisonde, even in modern Greek, we say hortasa, hortazo. You know, they shall be filled, filled as when you eat a good dinner, eating to satisfaction, you are satisfied. You're hungry and you're thirsty for something to eat and drink, and then you are satisfied, you are full. So these are the two key words in this fourth beatitudes. So the question arises for every one of us, what do you desire? What do I desire? What do you hunger and thirst for? What do you long for in your life? Wealth, recognition, success in business or school, a happy marriage, successful children. What do you desire? These are all good things. There's nothing wrong with them. They're good things, and rightly do most of us or all of us desire for these things. But I think today's beatitude asks us to raise our eyes and our thoughts and our desires a little higher. And so this fourth beatitude calls blessed those who desire something that is not solely for their own benefit or for the benefit of their families. You know, when you desire success and wealth and recognition and good family and a good marriage, those are all good things, but they basically benefit you and your immediate family and the people that are in your life. But when we say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice, for righteousness, you are raising your thoughts beyond your own immediate needs. And that actually is the reason why I'm not particularly favorable to translating it as righteousness. Because righteousness ends up being another personal thing. You know, you desire to be righteous. You desire to be good before God. Even that ends up being still kind of restricted to myself. And unfortunately, most translations, including the one that we sing, and one of these days, I'm just going to say, it's got to change, or we don't sing it anymore. Justice is the more literal, is the more correct translation of this word, dikaiosyne. And I think the preference for righteousness in our English Bibles is because our English Bibles are pretty much all Protestant in origin. And there's reasons why Protestants prefer the translation righteousness. Both translations are good, but righteousness still sticks a little closer to my own needs and my own desires than, let's say, the word justice does. Justice seems to have a more universal concern. So a question is, what is justice? If we're going to translate it as justice, what is justice? That's how St. Gregory of Nyssa actually sees it. And he does ask in his commentary on the Beatitudes, what is justice? What are we talking about? And he decides that it's important to explain it, to answer this question, because he says, for only when its beauty has been shown can the desire for this lovely thing be roused in us. So he starts with the everyday meanings of justice, meaning fairness in human dealings, fairness equality before the law, fairness in government, and so on and so on, the usual meanings of justice, the everyday meanings of justice. He sort of goes through those in one or two paragraphs and then moves on. And to my disappointment, he kind of spends several more days dancing around this question and focusing more on the words hunger and thirst instead of actually going beyond the everyday meanings of justice and saying, okay, so I kind of read several pages and I said, okay, Gregory, are you going to get around to saying to us what is justice besides the ordinary legal meanings? But he talks a lot about hunger and thirst, which is not a bad idea, actually, because that's something we can relate to. We are hungry and thirsty at various times in our lives or at various times during the day. And Jesus uses that kind of language of hunger and thirst. You know, when you're hungry and thirsty, you want to be satisfied. And that, I think, is the nuance that Jesus is driving at, the idea that for justice, for righteousness, you are hungry for it, you are thirsty for it, and when you see it, and when it happens, you want to be, I'm satisfied now. There's something very beautiful about how Jesus phrases this fourth Beatitudes. But finally, Gregory does get around to saying what he really wants to say. And it took me a bit by surprise. So he says, if we would venture on a bolder interpretation, it seems to me that through the ideas of virtue and justice, the Lord proposes himself to the desire of his hearers. For he became for us wisdom from God, justification, sanctification, and redemption, but also bread descending from heaven and living water. And in the middle of that sentence, he quotes 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, where Paul says, Jesus became for us Εγεννήθη σοφία από Θεού, δικαιοσύνη και αγιασμός και απολύτρωσης. Wisdom, Paul says, Jesus became for us the wisdom of God, σοφία Θεού, δικαιοσύνη, justice, or righteousness, or justification, which is another even looser translation, agiasmos, sanctification, and apolytrosis, redemption. So Gregory finds his inspiration from St. Paul, who says that Jesus became for us the justice of God. And inspired by this, he then quotes some lines from the Psalms of David, in their Greek version, whereas David says, my soul has thirsted for the living God. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? I will appear before your sight in justice. I shall be satisfied when your glory shall appear. This glory that is going to satisfy David, Gregory says, is God the Word himself, and God the Word is Jesus. This is standard way that these early theologians of the church, these ancient fathers and theologians of the church, looked at the Bible. They were not afraid to combine passages from the New Testament and the Old Testament, especially when certain key words were present. They were not afraid to combine them and to bring out new meanings, deeper meanings. So St. Gregory of Nyssa doesn't stop with the everyday meanings of justice and righteousness, but he raises it way high, right up to exalting God the Word, Jesus, who is the incarnate Word of God. I like the way he finishes, even though it wasn't quite what I was looking for. I like the way he finishes it because it's a blessed thing. It's always a blessed thing to contemplate the centrality of Christ in our thoughts and desires. And indeed, if we are Christians, we hunger and thirst for him who is our justice, our righteousness before God. He is the one who takes care of everything that is unlawful in us and in our activities and in our world. He is for the life of the world. He is the justice of the world. And with Jesus, when we raise our eyes and our thoughts to Jesus, we end up looking beyond our own interests, our own immediate interests and needs, and we see others as we see ourselves. If I may put on my professorial cap for just a few minutes, if you will allow me, as I finished reading what Gregory of Nyssa had to say, I said, okay, this still, maybe can go, can stay with this a little bit longer and see if there's anything else. I like the way, if you remember, and I followed his lead, he started with the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit. Then he skipped the second beatitude, went to the third beatitude, blessed are the meek. Then he went back to the second beatitude, blessed are those who mourn. And then the fourth beatitude today, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. He, in essence, was combining the first four beatitudes in two couplets. The first and the third, poor in spirit, meek. Second and fourth, those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst. I think this is a rhetorical device, even though Gregory doesn't call it that. And I think the rhetorical device is in the mouth of Jesus, not in the mouth of Gregory. Because if you want to emphasize something, if you want to reinforce something, you do what Jesus does. He starts out, blessed are the poor in spirit. Nice. Then he goes to, blessed are those who mourn. And then he says, let's go back to blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. To reinforce the meaning of that first beatitude. And then, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice. And if you remember what I said about those who mourn last week, it's not just about mourning for what you lose, for the person that you lose, the person who dies. But you mourn for all the evil and the injustice that exists in the world. And so it makes sense that Jesus would say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for justice. When a baby is hungry or thirsty, the baby cries. When you are hungry and thirsty, well, you might not cry, but you're going to do something about it. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. It goes together. It goes together. And then if you look at the remainder of the Beatitudes, those are the results. Those are the consequences. Those are the working out of the first four Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. And finally, the persecuted. Because if you are hungry and thirsty for God's justice, for God's righteousness, you will be persecuted. You might be mocked. People might not want to be your friend. And I'm not talking to people here about banging people over the head with the Bible, like some Christians do. We're not into that. I'm talking about simply living the way of Jesus, living a way that honors the justice of God. you will be persecuted. You will be singled out. Even without holding any signs or protesting or doing other crazy things that so-called Christians do. Just living the life that is just, that is righteous. Those who are poor in spirit and meek will be merciful. They will be pure in heart. Those who mourn, those who hunger and thirst, will be peacemakers. And they will be persecuted because of justice. And to drive the message home, did you notice the last beatitude? Blessed are you when men hate you and revile you and persecute you for my sake, Jesus says. He who is the justice of God, when you hunger and thirst for justice, for righteousness, it's going to be for his sake. And yes, you could be hated. You could be reviled. You could be persecuted. And I can say this. If you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be hated, there's no better reason. Be hated for the sake of Jesus. Be hated for the sake of your life according to the Beatitudes. When you become a Beatitude Christian, yes, there will be some negative consequences. But it's worth it because it's for his sake.